Welcome back to My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Alvare. This is Hour 2 with Matt Youmans, Aaron Rinning, and Scott Kellen. We'll be back momentarily. Game 5, Celtics-Heat tonight. The Heat lead the series 3-1. Boston is the number 2 defensive team in the playoffs, allowing only about 1 point per possession. And the Heat are one of the best offensive teams in the NBA, ranking in the top 5 in assist, free throw, shooting efficiency, and offensive rebound rate. Aaron, the public likes the Celtics. Who do you like on this?
Well, they've been. I mean, they expect Boston to come back and make this a series. I did not bet this game. I'm still hanging on to Miami series bet. But still, I mean, it's, you know, Boston can certainly come back and win all three games here. Series price about plus 350 if you come back on the Celtics. I thought the key turning point was with Smart guarding Dragic, but then Hero goes off the other night. I mean, still, you know, there were some things with Miami that they didn't do well. They were 4-27 from 3-point without Hero involved in there. So, you know, Boston looked a little bit defeated at times in that game. So I'm not willing to bet Boston here.
Yeah, I'm with them on this because to me it's heat or pass. I'm not convinced that Boston's going to make a big bounce back in this series. I don't know what happened with Jason Tatum and the last game, scoreless in the first half, 28 points in the second half.
A minus 9 plus minus ratio, I believe, in that game.
Very bizarre game. And Tyler, every time the Celtics tried to make a charge and they rallied, Tyler Hero hit a big shot to kind of stem the tide. And I was concerned about this. See, I have a bet on the Celtics to win the East and to win the whole thing.
Yikes.
I was concerned about this matchup going into it. I thought this was a lot tougher matchup for the Celtics than the Raptors were.
You know, the Miami, you know, the key to them, even in the Milwaukee series, to this series, the turnovers, the defense that they play to get those turnovers. You saw it again. Sure. Boston had double the turnovers
way
to Miami.
Turnovers.
That's kind of the difference in these games.
You guys mentioned Tyler Hero, 37 points in the last game. Who saw that coming? His DraftKings prop tonight, 16.5. Would you bet the over on that?
I would go under.
Under. I mean, riding high after that last game.
Not too many guys follow up their career night with a great performance in the next game.
Matt, huh? I believe Tyler Hero was your pick for rookie of the year in the NBA.
Tyler Hero was the guy I hyped so much going into the draft. I thought Danny Ainge should have traded up to get him. It's interesting how this has worked out because Ainge sat there with the 14th pick and didn't take him, and the Heat took him at number 13, and he could end up being the difference why the Heat go to the NBA Finals and the Celtics go home. Danny Ainge ended up taking a useless player at number 14, and he could have traded up to get Tyler Hero. I'll say tonight he scores 14 points, Danielle. I'll give you
an
exact number. Yeah.
All right, Aaron, I know you mentioned earlier betting a lot of overs in the NFL. What about the NBA playoffs? It opened at 213.5, not a lot of movement. 85% of the handle on the over here.
Yeah, I have my numbers make this one just a little bit higher, but I have not gotten involved from a total perspective in this game as well. These lines are so tough, and you see them, they come down. You know, that looked like an under the other night, and then it gets into a foul, just shots being made left and right down the stretch the last 5 minutes. So a little bit tricky, but no bet on the total.
That game looked like an under the majority of the way, and then, you know, the last 5 minutes or so with all the fouling and threes, it got over the total. So I don't see an advantage in playing that total. I like to live bet a lot of these playoff games. Have you been doing that?
That's certainly the way to do it, especially when they get down like this tight. And, you know, we saw it with the Lakers game last night, Matt. It lands 6, you know, right where the spread was. Uh-huh. If you were diligent and maybe taking 9 or laying 3 or whatever it was in that game. And, you know, Matt, if you look at this Miami-Boston game, if you don't think it's Tyler Hero, and we've seen Boston make the adjustment to try to take away Dragic, where are the points going to come from? So that's something to look for, really, from a side and total perspective.
That's a good point. I mean, where are they going to come from? I still like Dragic. I think also Jimmy Butler could step up, be more of a scorer. What about Duncan Robinson? We're going to see him do more?
Yeah, we saw Tyler Hero. Was the Tyler Hero game? I don't think this will be the Solomon Hill game for the Miami Heat.
What about Dragic? He's leading, I think, in the playoffs with his point total average 18.5 over under tonight. What do you think?
I have a hard time because I think this might cost Boston the series. It took them 2 games, Matt, to put Marcus Smart on Dragic. He's the, you know, kind of the head of the snake, if you will, for Miami. He's the difference maker. The problem is then Tyler Hero went off without that tight defense in that last game.
Yeah, the smart move we all needed to see. We'll see how it fares tonight. I don't know if we're going to see another performance out of Tyler Hero, but I want to say that I would bet the over on it just because I want to go against Matt on this one. We'll have more My Guys in just a sec.
All right, welcome back to the South Point, My Guys in the Desert on a Football Friday. It's Matt Eumanns, Aaron Renning, and Scott Kellen as we break down the NFL Week 3 from a betting perspective. Thanks to Bruce Marshall in the first hour joined us to talk college football best bets. We'll have top plays coming up here in 20 minutes, the best bets for the weekend for myself, Aaron, and Scott. And we also have Brent Musburger and the Mad Dog coming up shortly with their best bets in their head-to-head contest that runs here on My Guys in the Desert each week. One more game to get to before we go to Musburger and the Mad Dog, Bears and Falcons. And I saw Ben Fox tweet about this today, also a couple other people. A big bet came in on the Atlanta Falcons at BetMGM for $110,000, Falcons minus 3.5. Obviously, the guy who placed that bet's not a genius because three was sitting out there all week, and there are spots where you can lay three. Why would you bet $110,000, Aaron, on the Falcons at minus 3.5 when you could have easily laid three?
Why did you do that, Aaron?
Yeah, I have no idea, Matt. You see some of these bets being tweeted out during the week, and you know some of them are very you wonder where they're coming from or who are doing them, but certainly the casinos will take that bet with open arms.
All right, I do like the Falcons here, but I laid three in this game, not 3.5. I didn't bet $110,000 on it, but I like the Falcons at three. I'm skeptical of the Bears, to say the least. The worst 2-0 team in the league, the Falcons. I think an impressive 0-2 team, at least offensively, not defensively. Scott Kellen, Atlanta minus 3 or 3.5. The number's moving back in that direction. Total of 47.5.
Yeah, I didn't do anything this, Matt. I'll let ER. I think he likes the game. I'll let him speak a little bit more. I mean, my only comment on this, and I've used this a few times the last couple of years, when Atlanta has played at home against pretty decent defensive teams, and looking back here, they played Baltimore in 2018. They lose 26-16. They played Tennessee last year, lost 24-10. I know I was on both of those games. I'm just looking back here. They played the Vikings. They lost 14-9. Bottom line is when they played some pretty good defensive teams, the games have been lower scoring despite, you know, Atlanta's perception and ability to actually score a bunch of points. So that kind of gets me leaning under, although I don't really have much of an opinion here. And I'm just having a hard time getting a solid read in Atlanta, so I don't know what to think of the side, but I would lean under.
How good are the Bears defensively? Do we even know yet?
We don't.
I think they're a mediocre defense, but we'll find out. ER, what do you have?
Well, I hope you're wrong, Matt, because I have a big bet on this game under the total. Okay. I think one of the bigger bets I made all week here under, and you look at the Bears, obviously that first week against Detroit, they had that second half rally with Trubisky against a Lions defense that came back and was even worse last week against Green Bay, a beat up secondary in that game. They couldn't move the ball that well against a Giants defense that's not that good. You look at Atlanta so far, two games against probably maybe the two biggest over teams in the NFL, Seattle letting Russell Wilson cook. I think that was a little bit surprising to Atlanta. He came out and threw the ball all over the field. Mm-hmm. Of course, Dallas playing at a high pace, just doing anything to put points on the board. That defense, not good. So I think we get a little bit of value with that. Matt, last year, the Bears' highest total of the year was 46 that first week against the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. We know how that first game turned out, 10-3 final. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City came to Chicago in December. The total in that game, 44.5. So I came under the total of 48 here.
Interesting. Last week you were playing a lot of overs. This week an under in mm-hmm. the Bears-Falcons game. I'm on Falcons minus 3 in that one. Mad Dog and Musburger go head-to-head each week. And last week Mad Dog went, let's see. I think he went 0-3 last week. He had the Chiefs, laid the points. Steelers laid 7. Patriots plus 4 came up a little short on the goal line with the Patriots. He's 2-3-1. How about Brent Musburger? 5-1 out of the gate last week. Had the Ravens, the Packers, and the Giants. Let's get the Mad Dog and Musburger for week 3.
Brent, I could talk to you forever. It's pick time. And I just gave the standings. You're 5-1. I'm 2-3-1. What a week you had last week. You won the Ravens, Packers, and Giants. You know what that means. And you still haven't used that voucher, for crying out loud, from last year. You know what that means. You're off
to... Well, do you think I'm going to be traveling right now?
No, I guess not.
Come on,
but anyway,
come on,
you're off to a good start. So you take it away with game one. Go ahead. Brent Musburger,
all right.
Week three.
I have weighed long and hard my number one, but I can't get over this stat, Mad Dog, that I went back and researched over the last 4 years. I was curious about road teams, strictly road teams who were struggling. Teams that are 0-2 against the spread. And last year, in this week three, they went 6-1. So I dug in a little bit harder and found a guy who knew over the last 4 years, they are 15-4. Now, it's come in 0-2, so I thought, all right, let me take a look at that list. And the Titans jumped out at me. Now, the reason they don't cover, obviously, is Gostkowski had a horrible night on that opening Monday night in Denver. But I said, you know, the Vikings are disappointing everybody. I lost with them in week one. But I like this stat. And then what really convinced me I'm going to take the Titans is the fact that Anthony Barr is now out for the Vikings. Their defense, he's trying to replace his corners in there. I've got great respect for Coach Zimmer, but this doesn't look like the Viking team that I certainly expected to see. Ryan Tannehill's coming in there with Derrick Henry. They're going to run. I think they'll put the ball down the field. And it's not the full three for this road team. I mean, the key is I'll only have to give 2.5. So I'm going to start off with my first pick against the dog, and that would be the Titans, -2.5.
Well done, Brent. Superb. This is a gut pick for me, and I don't like giving up the hook, but I'm taking Atlanta. Now, I never get Atlanta right, so that does bother me. I never, ever get them right. But I think the Falcons are going to be really, you know, dying to get out there to make up for the onside kick scenario last week. The Bears were lucky to beat Detroit. They were fortunate to get by the Giants. They didn't put that game away. The Falcons in their building with that speed, with Ridley, and, of course, with Julio Jones. I think they'd be they like Quinn. They played hard for him last year when his job was on the line. Ryan's played very well here the first couple weeks. They've scored a ton of points. I don't love their defense, but the Bears don't score a lot of points offensively, so that might be a wash. You're giving up 3.5, but it's a hunch bet, an angered team, 0-2, desperate. The Bears are due to lose a game. I'll give up the 3.5, and I'll take Atlanta at home against Chicago, Brent. That's my first pick.
Yeah, the only reason I hesitate on that one is that they added the half point instead of the three. But I think you're right on at what you say. So I'm going to go for a team that hasn't won, hasn't looked that good, but I don't think has looked completely bad. I am going to take the Giants +3.5. But the reason why is the 49ers. I will tell you, I've been around this game a long time, and I can't remember a team that has suffered more injuries than the San Francisco 49ers right now, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo is out. They've declared that this afternoon. He will not start, okay? Running backs Raheem Mostert and Devin Coleman are out. Tight end George Kittle is out. They lost two big-time defensive linemen, Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas, out. Richard Sherman was already out. Yeah, I know the Giants are going to be without a Saquon Barkley, but the 49ers have to turn around. They stayed down at West Virginia, and they're going to travel back to the same stadium where they suffered all those injuries last week in devouring the Jets. I guess the only way I can describe it is anxiety. They complained about the field, and now they've got to go right back in there. That is a very, very tough situation for the 49ers this week. And I know it's an average Giant team, but I still think there's a chance for them to control this game, given that huge number of injuries. So I'm going to ride with the Giants +3.5.
Now, you had them last week. Why not take another run at them? I'm going to take the Ravens on Monday night. You had them last week. I'll jump on board this week. I think the Chiefs going coast to coast. I think the Ravens lost this game in Kansas City last year. They get stuck in their craw a little bit. Obviously, they didn't get a chance to get back at the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game because of their Tennessee loss. They played well the first 2 weeks. They didn't really miss a beat against Houston. You know, they buried the Browns in week one. You know, Kansas City should have lost last week. I mean, that game, the Anthony Lynn, you know, punting in the overtime, I could not understand. So I think that I think Baltimore's going to play well. I think they're going to run the ball very well. They got the three backs. I don't love the Chiefs defense, despite the fact it's improved. You know, Lamar Jackson against Mahomes, I lose something to prove. It's hard to believe that an MVP's got to lose something to prove. But all the starlets on Mahomes, I think that actually helps the Ravens in this spot. Now, you're giving up 3.5 points. And giving Mahomes 3.5 points is very dangerous. And the Ravens had some defensive backs banged up last week, too. So that helps Kansas City's receivers. But I think the Ravens will win the game. So I'm going to, you know, they might not cover, but I think they're going to win. So I'll gamble that I don't get burned by the 3.5. I'll go Baltimore against Kansas City home in week two, Brent. I'll take the Ravens.
Okay, now you've got to be concerned about one thing, okay? There's only one weakness that I've seen with this Raven team. They cannot come from behind. If you go back and look at the game against Kansas City, the loss you talked about, earlier to the Cleveland Browns, in the playoff game against the Titans, when they fall behind, they have difficulty. They are the best front runners, no doubt about it. I love them when they're out on top. They strike first. You won't have to worry about the 3.5. They'll coast. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, Mahomes, he lives for it. I mean, I last year, Chiefs came into Oakland. Raiders struck first, 10 points. Second quarter, no problem.
Four touchdown passes
in one quarter. So that's how I looked at that game. For me, there's many, many ways to go here with game number three. I'm sitting on the Titans, and I'm sitting on the Giants, and I'm going to take an all-out gamble, and I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals. I was hoping to get the 5, as it is in some places in Las Vegas, but for purposes of our contest, I'm going to get 4.5. Watch that Thursday night game. They've got a little bit extra rest. I thought A.J. Green could have made a couple of great catches that might have even turned that game around in that loss to Cleveland. But more importantly, I was impressed with the toughness of Joe Burrow. Picked himself up off the ground, kept coming, even at the end. Now, make no mistake, I don't think the Bengals are a sensational team or turning the corner and a playoff team. But I can't think of a team that is more disappointing in the NFC. The Minnesota Vikings would be number one, but right there with them would be the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? The Eagles just simply cannot get out of their own way. They're averaging 89 yards a game rushing. They're throwing it for only 225, and they're giving up 344 on defense. Carson Wentz, to me, hasn't looked the same since that knee surgery. So I'm going to ride with the Bengals and take the 4.5, Darb.
That's not terrible. You know, the Eagles, you say, I like Philly in the game. I'm not going to double down with you. I'll stay away from it because I need a win in the worst way. Now, you're not going to like this last pick. I like the Patriots on Sunday afternoon. I think the Raiders have a Monday night win going into Foxborough, and the Patriots are sitting there, you know, stung by not finishing off Seattle. I think it's a very tricky spot for Vegas in this game. You know Waller's not catching 12, 13 balls in this one. I can promise you that. I love the way Cam Newton has played to start the year. He's played very, very well. And, yes, I know the Raiders have a good offensive line, and I know Jacobs is a very good running back. But they were fortunate to get out of Carolina. No, last week they did. It was a hell of a win. They buried the Saints down 10-0, 17-7. And New Orleans, a lot of people love. So I understand that. But I just think the Patriots with Cam, Belichick, at home. I know it's not the same at home. But, I mean, the Raiders walking in there, maybe a little self-satisfied winning their first two games. I can't get that Kansas City game out of my head last year when they walked into Arrowhead and they got buried. I know they won their first road game. I don't think they're going to win this one. You're giving up 6.5, so it's a lot of points. Got to win by a touchdown. I'm going to take a chance that Carr can't win this game without his tight end. I will take New England. What's your take on that pick?
Let me give you the good news first. Mr. Ruggs is out. for the Raiders. Will
oh,
not
really?
Play.
Okay, that is
the
a big
one
help.
Draft choice
yeah,
cannot go because of an ankle on knee. Now let me give you the bad news. David Andrews, who's the key to the Patriots' offensive line, will not play. Injured a thumb in practice this week. Underwent surgery. Right hand, that's his snapping hand. Yesterday he tried snapping left-handed, and it didn't go well. So in the middle of that offensive line, they must replace David Andrews. But again, Ruggs not playing, nor is Trent Brown coming back for the Raiders this game. Dog, it's solid handicapping strategy that you use. Short week, team turning around for Monday night, traveling to East Coast. It's going to be very, very tough. But the 6.5, my friend, you're giving a lot of points this week.
Yes, I am, Brent. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Brent, you did a superb job. What a job. I could talk to you forever. Well done at 5 today. Have a good week. Right, enjoy man. The football. Thanks so much, pal. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mad Dog.
All right, there it is. Mad Dog and Musburger for week 3 in the NFL. I don't like to play a lot of favorites in the NFL, but I'm agreeing with Mad Dog on 3 of his sides there. The Falcons, the Ravens, and the Patriots. Obviously, he's not laying the best number. He could lay 3 with the Falcons and 5.5 with the Patriots there using Circus Sports contest lines there. Brent Musburger off to a 5-1 start. All right, when we come back, Scott Kellen and Aaron Renning, we get to top plays and more NFL breakdowns.
Welcome back to the Odds Trader Studio. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers receive a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up and start betting with the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSIN, and get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook for full details. Matt?
Two of top plays and also Twitter. I wondered when Scott Kellen's number one fan was going to check in. And Big Mo has finally tweeted,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, Big Mo.
At Brad 02145274. That's easy to remember, that Twitter handle. You got that, ER?
Oh, I got it.
You know where to find Big Mo on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
He says, are you, ER, and Scott doing the late Friday night football handicapping show? He just tweeted this 2 hours ago. It was on last year at 10 your time, 1 a.m. where I am in Florida. Need some Scott no play advice this year. Best show in the business. All right, Big Mo, hopefully you're listening. We're on right now. It's going to be at 2 o'clock every Fridays. No more late nights. Scott, do you like the afternoon setup instead of the late nights?
I
enjoyed the late Friday night shows, but this works okay in the afternoon.
Yeah, I've got pros and cons to both of them. By the way, one of my buddies shot me a thing last week. He said, you know, the theme of your show could be Come On Eileen. And I didn't get it. He said, Come On Eileen, like Eileen, right? Mm-hmm. No best bets. I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean, you'd be apt to have more plays 8 hours earlier
that's right.
than the late show.
People tend to get annoyed by too many leans. They want best bets,
yes,
and strong opinions,
yes,
like I love this game. Well, these are the games Scott Kellen loves this week. Scott, let's get to your top plays, and you're going to start with the Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots -5.5 over the Raiders. Raiders in a really bad situation, coming off 2 great games for them. Plus, New England just historically has been very good at home under Belichick, laying less than 7 points. Bucks Broncos -43. We'll get into that a little bit more, but a little bit of win there. And Broncos, typically as a home underdog, they've just not seen a lot of points scored in their games there. And Saints -3, 120 over the Packers. Same thing here. Packers coming in a very tough situation like the Raiders. But I'm still not sure how good the Packers are. And their defense, I think, is below average.
Interesting, because the Packers are going to be a really popular public dog on Sunday night against the Saints. Initially this week, I was thinking Packers. And the more I look at it, that's a spot where the Saints are going to come back with a response from the loss and a poor performance against the Raiders on Monday night, and with lopsided betting from the public on the dog, it feels like the Saints are going to be the right side.
You know, Matt, I looked at the Westgate Super Bowl odds last night, and I believe the Saints were 10-1 and the Packers 12-1.
Yeah.
Wow. This will be the first tough test for him.
I think a couple weeks ago you said you had an MVP bet on Drew Brees. You're probably not feeling great about that one right now.
No, I mean, it's tough. I mean, all these good young quarterbacks certainly look good. I still have hope and optimism, but that was certainly one where I read a little too many news stories before you get to see him play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and without Michael Thomas, he just didn't look very good.
He did not look good.
All right, let's get to ER's top plays.
Coming in with Lions-Cardinals over the total. We'll talk about that game coming up. The Lions defense, or the Packers almost went over the total against the Lions last week. Bears-Falcons, we talked about that at the top of the hour under the total. And I'm going to agree with Scott. I think we agreed on the Colts last week. Did you have a best bet on the Colts last week? Regardless, I'm going to match and going to go against the grain with the Saints minus three.
All right, so you and Scott match on Saints minus three over the Packers. Scott, you said there was a chance for some high winds in that Buccaneers-Broncos game.
Yeah, it's 10 to 20 mile an hour winds, but gusting possibly to 40. So, that's not good. If it's getting up 30, 40 mile an hour winds, that's going to be a little bit tough.
Any other games this week where you saw weather was going to be a factor?
Buffalo, I think 15 to 25 mile an hour winds. I've seen some stuff people saying Seattle, but by all indications, it's not nice there today. I was checking in with a buddy there, but Sunday it looks like it's going to be pretty mild.
I mean, come on, Buffalo drafted Josh Allen to be able to cut through right through that Buffalo wind.
Strong arm is going to be able to neutralize the Buffalo wind. All right, let's get to my top plays here. A couple of these I put up early in the week. And college football will start there, 401 on the rotation. Louisville plus three over Pitt. We'll go to Arkansas plus 28 over Georgia. Texas Tech plus 18 over Texas. Mississippi State plus 17 over LSU. I wrote up some of those. Those are going to be in the New York Post and on vsin.com if you want to check out the write-ups. Also, Patriots minus six over the Raiders. Falcons minus three over the Bears. My first two plays early in the week in the NFL. And Cowboys plus five over the Seahawks. I might end up on the Saints over the Packers as well. We'll go with those seven. Four in college football, three in the NFL. 21-12 is the record at this point. Quick break here on the show. We come back. We resume the NFL rundown. We have some of the best games of the week coming up, so you don't want to miss it. Stick with us for the final 30 minutes.
About betting on this weekend's football games. There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Matt?
All right, let's get back to it. NFL Week 3, Scott Kellen, Aaron Renning, Matt Eumanns here at the South Point, and the sportsbook director here, Chris Andrews, told me a couple days ago he has dropped the Jets to number 32 in the NFL in his power ratings.
I would have dropped him to 33.
the Colts, 11.5-point favorites over the Jets, total of 44. Scott, take it away.
Well, first of all, tell me who's going to play receiver for the Jets. I mean, I think their top three guys are all down. And they are one of these teams, all 28-11-1. Week three is 0-2 team. So, you know, for whatever that's worth. I kind of like the under here a little bit, Matt. I think, you know, the Colts ran the ball almost 67% of the time last week in a game that they were well in control against the Vikings. It's almost kind of my take that they're taking the ball out of Philip Rivers' hands if they can and don't need to rely on him. It's not like you don't see teams run the ball that much multiple weeks in a row. But if they get in ahead of this game and get control of this game, which they should, I can see him just taking his grand old time, running the ball, extending the play clock. I don't see how the Jets are going to score a whole lot of points in this game. They just have nobody right now. I like the under more than anything.
I did bet this game under the total. It was kind of a borderline play because it's not easy to play these games under when you have a lower total like this. But I went under 44, 44 and a half. As Scott mentioned, it seems like Indy more than happy to get up by 7, 10, 14, 20 points, whatever it would be, and run the football like they did against Minnesota that second half. Mm-hmm. Went very fast. And you do wonder where the points are going to come from the Jets. Not much to work with the wide receiver, obviously Le'Veon Bell. I mean, when your feature back is 37-year-old Gore to be the main man, to me, and they're going to feed him, they're going to give him the football, to me, you want to look under.
It's going to be a coaching clinic next Thursday night on NFL Thursday Night Football. Adam Gase against Vic Fangio. Broncos at the Jets. Don't mm-hmm. miss that one.
Hey, we joked about Jacksonville-Miami. Actually, was a somewhat entertaining game.
Yeah, that's
careful what you wish for, because right. Next week it's going to be bad.
Okay, let's Vic Fangio, I thought, would do a better job with the Broncos. But he's fit to be a defensive coordinator, not a head coach. He doesn't know how to manage a game.
Exactly.
Adam Gase, not a people person, shouldn't be a head coach.
Yep.
Okay, we'll get to the Broncos in a minute. Let's next go to Panthers and Chargers. And it's going to be Justin Herbert at quarterback. Chargers 6.5-point favorites, total of 43.5. No Christian McCaffrey. So what do we expect from the Panthers, Scott?
I'm going to lean Chargers here. I think I mentioned this last week maybe. They allowed 24 or more points in their last five road games last year. Last week they allowed 31. Granted, it took a 46-yard run at the end of the game. Last year, four of those five games at the end, they allowed 34 or more. So they're giving up a whole bunch of points. They've scored 20 or less in five of their last six games last year on the road. Scored 17 last week. So to me, that says they're going to give up a whole bunch of points here against the Charger team, who's been okay. Herbert looked pretty good last week. Chargers 0-6-1 against the spread as a home favorite, but that might have been more of a Phillip Rivers thing than anything else. Mm-hmm. In those seven games, 6-1 under, they did score 20 or less points in six of those seven games as a home favorite. So they haven't scored a whole bunch of points here, but I think they will put some points up on the board. I'm just not sure how much Carolina will score. I think Chargers defense has played pretty decent.
No bet for me in this game as well. The thing about here, the Chargers, I mean, you could have took them plus 9 last week. Now you got to lay a touchdown with them. And they seem like more of a underdog type of team. They're going to run the football. Yeah, I thought for the Chargers last week, I thought the running back and the wide receivers really stepped up and made plays that maybe they're not going to make every single week. So I'd be a little bit skeptical of the Chargers laying this kind of number.
I'm always skeptical of the Chargers laying points.
Right. I mean, they can't make, do a lot of stupid things. They can't make field goals and to lay points. Yeah, not easy.
Anthony Lynn doesn't make the best decisions.
No.
Team doctor sabotages the quarterback. Justin Herbert played well last week. It's going to be intriguing to see how well he plays this week when he's got time to prep for this game. Panthers, Scott, with two near misses, had a chance to win week one against the Raiders, kind of blew it. And week two should have covered against the Bucs and gave up a 46-yard TD run to who was it?
Fournette.
Oh, Leonard Fournette. Yeah. When the Bucs basically just wanted to run out the clock.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on. I'm not going to play that Panthers-Chargers game either. Lions and Cardinals, talk about 0-2 teams against the spread. Detroit Lions outscored 39-7 last week after they took a 14-3 lead on the Packers. Arizona 5.5 or 6-point favorite here. High total of 55.5.
I think Kenny Golladay probably coming back. And again, here's another 0-2 team in week three that's been profitable over the last 4 years or so. Lions scored 21 or more points in 8 of their last 10 games as a road dog with Stafford. So good chance they'll put some points up. Both these teams, actually, looking at my numbers, below average defensively. Arizona was about an average team offensively last year. They're well above average right now in offense. So obviously some things have helped them. Hopkins coming over there. And Arizona, looking back last year, scored 27 or more in 3 of their last 4 games against average to below average defenses. So they're going to put some points on the board. We just got a really high total here. So I don't know that I want to go over this total. I really have no play here. I guess I'd lean over if anything, but it's just it's a lot of points.
Remember last year, these two teams met in week one. Detroit was a three-point favorite in Arizona. I remember guys, a lot of sharp guys, couldn't wait to bet against Cliff Kingsbury in his first week as an NFL coach. thought that he would be outclassed in the NFL. Matt Patricia says, you know what, I'm going to show you how it's done. And he hasn't quit since, being the worst coach in the NFL. Wow. Amazing.
Strong word. Worst coach in the NFL.
Amazing, you know, the defense. He's a defensive guy. The defense was, what, 28th last year, 29th the year before. And you watch him, you know, he's brought in some talent, so he has no excuse. But, you know, they can't stop the run. The secondary is terrible. You can't rush the quarterback. About the three things that make a bad defense, Patricia's got it all covered. I bet this game over the total.
Lions led that game by 18 points in the fourth quarter. Ended up in 27 all tie last year.
Right. Kind of like that week one game for the Detroit Lions against the Bears.
You guys didn't play the side here?
I didn't.
Did not. Nope. No.
Didn't take the bait with the Lions.
I mean, like I said, I mean, last year was Detroit was favored by three.
All right, we got some good games coming up here in the final segment. Bucks, Broncos, Cowboys, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, and Chiefs, Ravens on Monday night.
UFC is back with a middleweight title fight between Adesanya and Costa, and BetRivers is offering a knockout special as hard-hitting action deserves a hard-hitting odds boost. The odds of two or more main card matches ending in a knockout are boosted from minus 220 to plus 253. Take advantage of this special offer and, as always, get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, one-time playthrough on all bonuses, and superb customer service at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Matt?
All right, back to it here. My guys in the desert, Matt Eumanns, Aaron Renning, and Scott Kellen, as we finish up week three in the NFL. Kelly Bidlin, one of the great producers of ESPN, pointed out that 20-mile-an-hour winds are expected Sunday in Buffalo. Scott, you talked about that. Might have a more impactful situation in Denver with the winds. The Buccaneers have dropped to, at some spots, five and a half point favorites on the road against the Broncos, total of 43. So we are going to see some wind in this game, right?
Yeah, it's. I was just looking here. It's saying 10 to 20 mile an hour winds. Winds could occasionally gust over 40 miles an hour. That would be a problem. I do kind of like the under. I mean, that obviously helps it. But I like the under anyway. Both teams below average in offense right now. Both teams above average on defense. Denver 8-2 under last 10 as a home dog. And looking back, so that's 10 games they played as a home dog. Only one of those 10 games totaled more than 43 points. That was a 27-23 Kansas City game. They scored 51 under a total of 53 and a half. So they have not scored a lot of points in home games there as a home dog. And I think Tampa Bay will be, they'll be happy to run the ball if they can on Denver a little bit. I don't know how Denver's going to move the ball a lot. One lone worry, well, two worrisomes here. It's a fairly low total, as ER said. And these teams have thrown the ball down the field a little bit. So that doesn't help a low under, but short of that, I think this thing's got a good chance to go under the total.
I was surprised, DR, how Jeff Driskel was having success throwing the ball against the Pittsburgh defense last week.
I mean, if you watch that game, he actually looked better. Almost you would think that he gives them a better chance to win than Locke does at this point. Of course, if you watched Driskel some other times he played in the NFL, you might not think that same. This one was an easy pass. I just had no interest in the side or total here.
There's Kelly Bidlin. He just walked in the studio. Something happened to him in the Boy Scouts several years ago. He doesn't like to talk about it. We're not going to.
One of these days, he'll share it.
Thanks for that weather report, though. Let's go to Cowboys and Seahawks. Seattle -5, total of 57, highest total on the board this week, Scott.
I'd love to go over, but that thing just keeps going up. Dallas is really decimated in their secondary. Not sure if Tyron Smith is going to play at left tackle yet. Looks like he's questionable. I mentioned this last week, and so I'm going to probably lean a little bit towards Dallas here.
Uh-huh.
Seattle, 7-12-1 against the spread as a home favorite. What's that, 20 games since 2017? 13 of those 20 games they've won, but only four of those games did they win by more than 7 points. So they're not winning these games at home, and last week was another example. They won that game by five. So they're not winning by margin when they do win. I guess I'd lean a little bit Dallas maybe. I'm just worried about their injuries.
I mean, three incredible games here to close the NFL. That's sure. About as good as it gets mm-hmm. here, these last three games in week three NFL action. I'm going to have a lot of action on these as well. I have some over money. I mean, we've seen Seattle kind of open up that offense, certainly for them. The Cowboys playing at a quicker pace, not much defense. They're banged up on defense as well. I am also going to come in with a bet on the Cowboys. A couple things that you mentioned. Here, Scott, but again, if we go back to the first week of the season, I mean, I think this number is probably two. Seattle, traditionally a very strong home field advantage. I don't think you have that here as well, but I'm a little bit skeptical, and this offense looks very good for the Seahawks, but this defense does not. And certainly saw that New England go up and down the field on them last week. You would think Dallas would be able to do the same. So in Dallas, there's been a lot of money against the Cowboys in the betting market the last 2 weeks. So I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. I haven't bet this game yet. We're going to see what happens with Tyron Smith, see any status for him. I highly doubt it'll get to six, but we'll see.
Yeah, actually, the totals in these last three games, 57, 52.5, and 54.5. And the Cowboys put up 40 last week against the Falcons. Obviously, that was a crazy finish to that game. The Dallas defense really beat up here, but I think one thing not many people are talking about, like I mentioned earlier in the show, Seattle last in the NFL in total defense mm-hmm. and last in pass defense, 415 yards a game. So the Cowboys should be able to move up and down the field, and that's Seattle defense now without Bruce Irvin too.
Yeah, and you know that Dallas game last week, it's not like Atlanta did a whole lot to score to get that lead. Dallas turned the ball over, what, four times or whatever it was.
Yep.
You know, they all gained them, I think, 7 yards to 5.3 yards a play. So
it'll be interesting because Seattle, as we know, kind of that bend but don't break style of defense where they play the covers deep, don't usually put a lot of rush. And we've seen the Cowboys, certainly not last week when they scored 40 points, but that first week against the Rams, right. A lot of offense but only 17 points.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move to Packers and Saints. We talked about the Packers and how popular they will be as a public dog this week. A couple of bookmakers said the tickets in the 10-1 ratio right now on the Packers.
Wow.
That should bode well for the Saints, the 3-point home favorites, total of 52.5. Scott, the Packers have looked great. The Saints have looked, I would say, less than stellar on both sides of the ball so far early in the season, and that would probably mean that you want to play the Saints.
Yeah, I'm on the Saints. And, you know, let's look at Green Bay. I mean, they played Detroit, who was decimated in the secondary. They played Minnesota, decimated in the secondary. Looking here, Packers giving up 6.4 yards a play against the two teams they played that averaged 5.7 yards a play. So their defense is below average. It's kind of been covered up with their offensive performance against some banged-up defenses. They're Packers in a really bad situation for me. It's a 78-29-4 situation of plays against them.
Right.
And it's 24-2-1 going against undefeated teams, whether that's week two or week 15 of the year. And it just happens to be 4-0 in week three. I don't think the Packers defense is as good as some people might think. Saints are laying a short number here. Looking back, Saints since 2017 is a home favorite. They've been favored 22 times. They've scored 30 or more in 17 of those 22 games. There's nothing that makes me think they can't do that against this Green Bay defense that I think is below average. And the Packers as a road dog since 2017, 19 times. They've scored 28 or less in 16 of those 19 games. Now, some of them, they probably didn't have Rodgers, but I just think this is a great situation for the Saints to get right.
What a strong opinion from Scott there, Matt. I have to agree. I'm on the Saints here as well. And you know, I'm down on this NFC North. And you look at what the Packers did against Minnesota and Detroit. I just can't. This Saints defense is a completely different planet than the defenses they played the first 2 weeks of the season. Derek Carr even said last week, wow, that New Orleans defense, they have talent on all levels. They do a lot of different things. And even then, you know, the Raiders averaged 4.9 yards per play last week. Week one, Brady had a lot of issues going against that Saints defense. So I think that's the difference. To me, the Saints very good with what they do. It's an interesting argument. Actually, who means more to their team with Michael Thomas or Davante Adams here? I think the Saints have a few more weapons, and Thomas might be more valuable just from a player standpoint. But, boy, Adams means so much because there's just not much talent left without him on this Packer team. So I'm going to go with that Scott Strong opinion. I'm on the Saints here as well.
No surprise here within the past hour. It was reported Michael Thomas ruled out versus the Packers. So Drew Brees not going to have him for the second week in a row. Let's move on to the Monday night game, and this is going to be another popular public dog. You going to give me points with Aaron Rodgers? You going to give me points with Patrick Mahomes? Yep, that's the case. Mahomes catching 3.5 here, total of 54.5. KC at Baltimore on Monday night, Scott, and the Chiefs very fortunate to escape L.A. with a win over the Chargers last week.
Yeah, they haven't looked quite right on offense. I don't know if teams are just playing them differently or I'm not sure, but they haven't had nearly as many big plays as they've had last year. They're averaging 5.7 yards a play against teams that give up 5.5. That puts them just barely above average on offense. So something just doesn't look right there. I've got a pretty good Monday night situation on Baltimore here. I don't know that I want to play him at 3.5, probably a lean at 3.5. But if this goes down to 3, I will definitely play Baltimore. Baltimore averaging about 1 yards per play more than what their opponents are giving up. And they're allowing about 1 yard less than what their opponents are averaging. I just think they've been very, very strong. They're laying a short number here. Lamar Jackson, 10-1 straight up as a home favorite. If I can get him at 3, I will take Baltimore.
You know, and I've heard a number of sharp people say that kind of the same feelings about Kansas City. They just haven't looked right. They haven't looked like themselves. Now, I think some of that is the defense. These teams are playing two high safeties against them, and Baltimore played that style against Watson to take away the big play last week. So you're going to see that again. I do have a bet on Baltimore. I agree. I laid 3. If you can get 3 here with the Ravens, to me, the most complete team in the NFL, offensively, defensively, on special teams. They have looked so good, so I'm going to continue to ride them until maybe Patrick Mahomes proves me different here. But I think, you know, in the NFL, we're kind of seeing this. I call it the Patrick Mahomes rules, if you will. These teams are trying to take away the big play for the Chiefs.
All right, that does it for NFL Week 3. Do you guys think that number drops to 3 more spots by Monday night?
I think it will.
I would think so. People love, you know, first of all, Kansas City 9-1-1 against the spread. Last 11 is a road dog. People love getting points, like you said. Question is, will they come off 3.5? But you're probably going to get more money that way at 3.5 than laying 3.5. So,
All right. Again, recap the top plays for the week in the NFL. I played the Patriots -6, Falcons -3, Cowboys +5. Scott?
New England -5.5, Bucks -43, and Saints -3, -120.
I agree with the Saints. I'll be on the Atlanta Falcons Bears under the total and Arizona Lions over the total.
All right, again, if you missed the show, go to VSIN.com. You can catch a replay there. Also, follow us on Twitter at VSIN Live. That's my guys in the desert for a Football Friday. Thanks to Bruce Marshall, Brent Musburger, the Mad Dog, Scott Kellen, Aaron Renning, Danielle Alvari, and hope you have a winning weekend. That does it here from the South Point Sportsbook on a Friday, NFL Week 3.